broadcasting from the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's time for Kick Set with USA Swimming, bringing you interviews with athletes, coaches, and experts from age group swimming to the national and Olympic teams.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. I am your host, Dan McCarthy. Well, it's kind of cold out, but I hope everybody is enjoying the swimming competitions that are becoming more numerous and really very fast. Some college conference championships have begun. We've already have a tier pro swim series meet in the bank from January, and we have one scheduled in March. It's going to be in San Antonio, and I can't give you many details, but I have heard that this is going to be loaded with national team athletes. So you're really going to want to check the results and take the time to watch some of the races if that's possible for you. While we're on the topic of the website, if you are still, as everybody, dealing with the COVID situation, even though there's some light at the end of the tunnel, the CDC and USA Swimming put on an excellent presentation a little earlier in the month, The Science and Practice of Swimming Through COVID-19. If you can watch the recording on usaswimming.org, and you pick up all kinds of tidbits, some stuff you may already know, but there's a lot of great information about moving forward, things that are super important for getting your child, your team, or even yourself back in the pool more often and safely. And I highly recommend it. We have some good partners at the CDC that have provided us with some excellent information throughout this whole pandemic situation. And it was great to get them to sit down and have a conversation and provide first-class information. Also on the website, this is Black History Month, and there is a section there for Black History Month Trailblazers. Just go to the website, click through at the top of the screen, and you will find the Trailblazer information. So you can, you know, take a deeper dive into some of our favorite athletes that also happen to represent the Black community. Our guest today is Shane Cassis. Shane is a 21-year-old junior from Texas A&M. And I think everybody is aware of who Shane is right now, especially like really, you know, hardcore swimming fans. But if you don't, that's okay. Shane has risen quickly, but he's done this, you know, over the past couple of years without the big NCAA meet last year and no nationals. So you would be excused if you weren't positive who Shane Cassis was. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He started off on the national junior team, and he made his mark at nationals. He was the 18 and under national champ in the 50 free and the 100 back. And in 2019, he was the 100 backstroke national champion. This is really interesting. He is the seventh fastest 100 backstroker in U.S. history, and he has never been to an Olympic trials. Now you might be saying, okay, Dan, seventh fastest, you know, you're kind of, you know, digging down. Well, keep in mind who the backstrokers are in American, you know, in American history. Bridgewater, Kraselberg, Pearsall, Grievers, Murphy, Ryan Lochte. There's six right there. And he's the seventh fastest already without ever having attended a trials. Shane he's super fun, as you'll catch on while we're having our interview. He's from a small town, Mission, on the border of Texas and Mexico. We had a chance to talk about, he's a pretty talented multi-sport athlete, which has gotten him into some trouble in the past. He's had to overcome some hurdles. His family is super important to him, and that'll come through really clear in the interview. And also make sure you stay till the end so you can find out Shane's connection to former WWE wrestler Tito Santana. Shane, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear you're surviving the extreme winter weather in South Texas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it here. Getting to know you a little bit and looking at your background, you are a multi-sport athlete through most of your athletic career?
Yes, I participated in a variety of sports, including like soccer, basketball throughout like middle school, and a little bit of like the early years of high school. And like, I ran cross country in middle school because I thought like, oh, like, I think this would be good for like my heart health and like my aerobic capacity. So I thought about it like that. And I mean, that was awful. I hated cross country, honestly, but I did it to like help me in my early years, keep the weight off and stuff.
Right.
Get all that baby fat burning off slowly.
So basketball and football were in the mix for a while?
Football a little bit, yes. I definitely stopped playing that a lot earlier because I had I don't know if it's called just like a spiral fracture or something like that, because I was a receiver, and then like I went up and then our hands got mixed up and then, you know, broken finger. So my mom was like, that's it. She took me out of that immediately. So then basketball was the second option for a long time with swimming. I would go like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, swim, stuff like that.
All right. So what position were you in basketball?
I mean, I guess just like for my area, you know, like I guess I'm like taller than the average. So I was usually like the tall, like the post, like the four. Okay. But I was like this really skinny and lengthy kid. So like I wasn't really good at it because anybody could move me out of the way. So it was super frustrating because I'm like, nah, I'm like Kevin Durant. Like I got handles, baby. And I was just like, I would always tell my coach, I'm a point guard. I don't care what you say, but like, I really wasn't, but it was just fun to like pretend that I was.
How tall were you by then?
I think in middle school, you know, like, I guess I was still like above the average, like 5'10 or whatever.
Oh, okay. And so then there was middle school dunking.
No. I almost did. That was pretty cool. I would always touch the rim, but I couldn't dunk. But like freshman and sophomore year, I shot up a little bit to about like 6'2", something like that. I've been like a slow. I never had any crazy growth spurts throughout my early years.
So your player comp, if I heard you correctly, is Kevin Durant. That's who you're most like?
Yeah, I'm definitely like Kevin Durant.
Okay, good. All right.
A little better, a little bit.
Hopefully we could get that published. So how did swimming ending up be your final pick?
It was just definitely like a realization that I could probably go a lot further with swimming than basketball. I mean, I never truly gave any other sport like the actual chance of like 24/7 devotion. It was always like swimming, then another sport. So, you know, like you'll never know, but I feel like the physical gift that I was given, I would go much further with swimming. And I feel like I chose, obviously I chose right because, you know, it's going much better than I anticipated.
In the basketball career, perhaps.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I'm purposely steering clear of COVID training stories because I think we've exhausted them to this point. But I do have to ask you, there is a rumor out there that you ran a marathon during COVID.
Yes, I did. It wasn't fast, but I did do it. So
was it official?
No, not at all. No. My brother and I, because my brother actually did cross country, he was varsity. And I told him, I was like, I think I can beat you in a marathon. And he was like, hell no, what are you talking about? And my mother was like, hell no, you can't. And so I was like, okay, well, then we're going to do it tomorrow. And I put a poll on Instagram. I remember like seeing like if people thought I could do it. And like, I got like 60% yes. So I was like, well, if everybody thinks I can do it, like I might as well just go out and do it then. And that was the worst mistake of my life. I regretted it after like mile 5. I was like, I can't do this. But I slowly, it took me forever. I think it was like 6 hours, something like that. It took literally all day. I was like, I can't do this.
Did you have a course?
No, we just ran around the city. We just ran around the city until my Nike runners app hit 26.2. And I was like, I'm done. And I did not move for like 3 days. I played video games and just sat in my bed.
Did you check with your coach first or did you just do it dead tell? No.
I definitely should have because I kid you not, I had scar tissue in my knee for about like 3 months. So that was pretty stupid. And I was super mad at myself every time I was doing breaststroke pace when I couldn't like kick. I was like, dude, all because of that stupid marathon, I can't train.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is a good story. That was worth bringing COVID up again. All right. So I'm going to back up a little bit. The first time I ever met you that we had a conversation, although you may not even remember at this point because there's so many adults around you, was the junior team camp when you broke your ankle.
Yeah.
All right. I call it the infamous ankle break, but I don't know if everybody's aware of what actually happened there.
Yeah, I mean, it was summer of 2018, I believe, or Actually, no, it wasn't even summer. I take that back. It was
springtime. Remember,
yeah, it was springtime. It was like during school. And I remember, you know, I got to the junior team camp. That was like my first like official camp at like OTC. So it was like super cool and like nice being where like Michael Phelps and like all these like crazy legends have trained. So I was like in awe for the first half of the camp. And then like, I remember it was the day where we put suits on. I raced. I did like super well for myself. I went like 55 and 100 back and like, I don't even know, like 23 or something like that, 53. I did super well. I performed well and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, this is gonna be a great summer. So like after that, everybody's relaxing. We're just like chilling in our rooms. And then somebody's like, yo, let's go play basketball. And I'm like, I kind of don't want to. And I was just on my phone relaxing. And then after a while, you know, like, I got really bored and I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to go outside and play basketball. I don't want to like be cooped up in my room. Like I can make these good memories with some new friends. So I'm just out there like doing my thing. And, you know, I guess like it kind of was my fault. You know, I was kind of like showing off a little bit, like grabbing the rim and stuff. And I remember we played knockout and I shot, hit the front. It bounces out. I started sprinting, got the ball. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to dunk because that'd be super sick. And I go up and I try to dunk. I don't dunk, which is super annoying. And then I land so bad. My ankle just, cause I didn't even tie my shoes either. Cause I just, I don't know what I was thinking. I just didn't tie my shoes and I land and my shoe immediately slips underneath. And all I hear is like a pop, a snap. And I fall down and I'm like, oh, holy, what did I just do? And everybody goes, oh my God, what? And I look down, my ankle is the other way. And there's blood. No. I go, holy crap. I can't believe I just did that. And I didn't yell, I didn't scream, I didn't cry, I didn't nothing. I just sat there and like, oh my God. I went into shock immediately and I was like, holy crap, I just ruined my summer. So I was super upset immediately. I went, oh, are you kidding me? I think I said like this was supposed to be like a great summer for me. I said that out loud. Yep. And then I just like put my shirt over my head and then I just sat there until they like picked me up and took me to the, I think it's like the main entrance. And yeah. Then I remember Mitch Dalton, he took me and we went to like the ER or whatever. And then I got it sorted out. But yeah, that was a crazy couple of hours for me.
And I give you credit because you got it set, you know, the cast did whatever they did with it. And then you participated in the rest of the camp.
Yeah, I was just crutching along everywhere, the dining hall,
yeah,
like up the stairs, everything. I think my mother came up a couple days later, and then she just stayed with me. But yeah, like I was just like, well, I'm already here. I'm not gonna go home because I broke my ankle. Like I'm just gonna stay. And it was cool. I still learned a lot, and it was cool to be around everybody.
Yeah, and you alluded to that earlier, that the connections you make at these junior team camps and that sort of thing are super important.
Yeah. I think it was pretty cool because, you know, like everybody from then on, like I wasn't like best friends with, but I was fairly familiar. I would see him at like nationals and they're like, how are you doing? Like all this stuff. Cause like, it was crazy. Cause I messed my ankle really bad. And then high school finishes, all this stuff. And then I go straight to like A&M. I can come up here in the summer and I'm just like working around my injury and stuff. And I go to nationals and everybody's like, how is this kid here? Like what?
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And I still, like, I went, like, 54 and 100 back, like, 158, like, decent times. And I was super surprised because I just didn't even think I was going to have a summer meet. So I was super happy to do that. And I'm really glad I did because that's how I qualified for the international meet, which we're going to talk about later.
Yep. Let's jump on that right now. So all of our national junior teams, I mean, we're the United States. So our national junior teams are filled with great athletes every year whenever we select one. However, that being said, this junior team was pretty loaded. I mean, just off the top of my head, we have the Fosters,
yeah,
Luca, Gretchen Walsh. I mean, there's some high caliber athletes on this, in this group of people. And your first international trip was Mare Nostrum.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys all get to go together. I mean, had you traveled internationally before that?
I mean, I've been to like Mexico, but I never was like out of like the continent international. We did miss the Monaco stop, but it was super eye-opening, and I was super happy to like go to like Barcelona and Canet in France. So I was extremely grateful and excited for the opportunity. And I'd never been on a flight that was like 14 hours or something like that. So that was crazy. I just knocked out the whole time.
So do you come away from a trip like that saying, man, I got my work cut out with me, or hey, I really belong with this elite group of athletes?
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, even at the camp, like I always felt like the back end, like the guy like looking in. But after that meeting, you know, I got like second in a couple events, you know, going against like, I'm not familiar with the names, but you know, these guys like go on to get like third at Worlds and stuff. So I was super impressed that I was able to perform and like race against like these very high level people. And it was also super sick to see like Adam Peaty. And I think, I don't know if Sarah Swordstrom was there, but just like these really big name, you know, like as fast as it gets, the biggest guy in person, you know, I think I have a video of it and I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like I'm racing and swimming with these people. This is awesome. Maybe one day I'll be them.
Yeah. How about that? So you transitioned to Texas A&M, and despite the broken ankle and, you know, the challenges, you just continue to improve. So were these technical adjustments you were making? Were they, you know, racing strategy, or is this hard work and good coaching?
It's definitely hard work and good coaching, but I think that, you know, throughout the recruiting process, I did an excellent job choosing the school that I knew I could be best at, you know, like, you know, maybe for me going to Texas or Cal or these like one and two schools would be awesome, but I didn't think that that was best for what I needed. I needed a place where I could grow and plant the seed and develop into what I needed to be and not be shaped into another way. You know, like I didn't want to join a team and become just a role player, because, you know, who knows how that affects your career. So I thought that, you know, coming to A&M, I knew that it would allow me to grow and others to grow with me. And I think we're doing a great job with that, because, you know, like you have people swimming out of their ability and surprising themselves, just like I've been doing. Because, you know, like as crazy as everybody thinks it is, it's even crazier for me, because I'm just like, I don't know how I did that every single time. They ask me the same question, I just give them the same answer. I have no idea. I know the reasons why it happens, but I just don't know how it, like how that swim just happens.
I wanted to give you a moment to, if you wanted to give your coaches a shout out for something in particular that has helped you during this transition day in A&M.
Yeah, I think Jay and Jason have done a great job motivating me and helping me believe in myself. Because I think that Jason, you know, he can bring out a very confident and strong personality in you if you feed off of it and feed off the energy that he gives into you. And I think Jay is a very wise and like noble guy, and he like inspires you from within. You know, he doesn't have to yell at you to get you fired up, or he doesn't have to just do these like crazy motivational tactics. You know, he'll always tell me like in the middle of a hard set, like remember who you're racing, like little things like that, that really like stick in my brain and just kind of spark a fire, and I just keep going. So I think, you know, they have their ways, you know, all coaches have their ways of motivating and getting their swimmers to the next level. And I think they do the absolute best with my ways and right. The way I think.
How's my man Alex Dawson doing?
Dawson, he's awesome. I love Dawson. I'm always joking around with him. I love Dawson to death. That guy's
Home
awesome.
I said hi.
I will.
All right. So I'm going to back up a little bit. Whenever you're younger, who are your role models? You know, whether it's in sports or out of sports, you know, I mean, I have two kids myself, and, you know, you always want to tell them, hey, you know, like your role models are close to you and people that inspire you are far away from you. You know, my kid loves LeBron James. You know, it's I can't say LeBron James is his role model, but he's definitely inspired by him. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like when you're thinking back about being a kid, you know, how did that terrain lay out for you?
I mean, as you're saying, you know, how role models are people close to you, definitely my family. You know, they've been with me through thick and thin, and from when I was on the bottom, just in summer league and stuff like that. Like my mother and grandparents always driving me to Corpus, to San Antonio, Austin, Houston, all around the state, just so I could get a chance to race and keep growing as a competitor. So I definitely think that they're the biggest reasons why I do what I do. But from an inspirational standpoint, you know, like I've had many inspirations. You know, every kid looks up to Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte, and they want to be like them. And I think for me, you know, even closer to my generation, I would always look up to Ryan Murphy and all these great backstrokers being like, man, like, I want to be like this guy. Or, you know, even now, like, I, even though I might not be too far away from Caleb, I think Caleb's a great inspiration for me because I want to be like Caleb, you know, who doesn't want to be like the guy that just can't swim slow and who's always on fire, you know, like, I think that's so crazy, you know, I just can't wait to meet them one day and feed off of that and grow.
Well, you know, it's, I put a little note down here. I wrote, if backstroke, then, because I didn't want to pigeonhole you because I know you're a really good IMer and you can throw down some nice fly whenever it's required. And, but people are starting to look at you more and more as a backstroker. And it sounds to me as if you're acutely aware of how important men's backstroke is in the tradition in USA swimming.
Yeah. I don't know the statistics or like the streak or whatever, but I feel like it's like since like 1960, we've medaled in the 100 and 200 backstroke.
Yeah. I mean, like even recently.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a great tradition. I think the US does produce the best backstrokers in the world. You know, like we prove it every quad, every single time. But I really don't think of myself just as a backstroker. I train every stroke. I train breaststroke as hard as I train my backstroke. Same thing with freestyle. If anything, I let off on freestyle the most because I really believe that I can have the great IM, breaststroke, butterfly, backstroke, and freestyle legs in anything. But yes, my backstroke has definitely outperformed my other strokes right now. But sure. I plan to change that at some point.
Okay, fair enough. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that we're doing this interview during Black History Month. And I wanted to ask you, because we've definitely done some introspection at USA Swimming in the last year, and you named Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte. Were there any Black swimmers, even if they were local or regional, that you could look to for inspiration when you're coming up in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Cullen Jones being like, you know, getting, I think, silver in the 50 in London. You know, that's awesome because, you know, in this sport, historically, you know, Black individuals and Black culture is not very like present with it. And, you know, you don't see a lot of Black swimmers. I'm not even fully 100% Black, but obviously I do identify as Black. And I think that, you know, it was always strange and kind of awkward for me to go to a meet and, you know, I'm one of the only kids there that, you know, of color, and it's always kind of weird, you know, and I never felt like not welcomed or anything, you know. Luckily I don't really experience any of the awful things that many others have gone through, but I always did feel like kind of not in my element, and it was always strange for me, but I just never thought too much of it and I never let it affect me too much. But, you know, as like, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything has come out, you know, like people have you know, fought for like justice and equality and stuff. And I think that's super neat because, you know, whether you're who you worship or the color of your skin, you shouldn't really be judged or put behind or placed behind somebody else because of your differences. And I think that's great. And, you know, fortunate for me, I haven't experienced that. And I think USA Swimming does a great job at it. And the community is awesome. You know, it's a very positive and very polite and respectful community, you know, versus like, you know, maybe like basketball, football, or it might be a little more rowdy and vulgar and stuff like that. I think swimming's great because you don't, I mean, at least from my personal experiences, I don't really feel that. And I'm grateful for that because that's not something that I would wish on anybody to grow up with, you know, like racism pains and stuff like that and just bullying and stuff like that. So I'm super grateful for that. And, you know, obviously like I look up to like the people that have really like made a step forward, like Simone and Cullen for the Black community. And that's super awesome. And, you know, hopefully, you know, more people just of all colors, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter about your color, just join the sport and grow it and get it to a better place.
This summer, Maritza she got involved in
I think she's chairing the Black Leadership in Aquatics Coalition that sprang up out of the events of the springtime. Have you had any involvement with the group?
Or I have not had much involvement with any Black organization, stuff like that. I just feel like I'm super busy and I kind of, I'm really focused on school and swimming right now. I definitely do think it's very important. I just haven't joined yet. And I think at some point I will. It's just right now I'm focused on my career and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My progression.
It's funny because you're going to end up as a role model, whether you like it or not, or an inspiration to a bunch of young kids. And they're going to see you, and they're going to see everything that you've accomplished. And as USA Swimming begins to, expand through our diversity efforts and through our commissions and through our involvement in the community, I think you have an opportunity to be something special to some younger kids out there. And I was wondering, whenever you're an athlete coming up, do you ever think about that? Or does it just happen one day and you're like, oh, that kid just asked me for my autograph, said that I'm really important to him. I mean, nobody's autograph seeked from me, so I have to ask what it's like.
No, I've actually had a couple signed caps and stuff like that. I mean, I believe, I'll never forget, it was in Kanae, actually, a little girl asked me for my cap. And I was super I was starstruck. I was like, what? They want my cap. I'm not anybody special, but here you go. Enjoy. It was my USA swimming cap. And I signed my name. I just put it in print. And I don't know, that was awesome. And and then fast forward to, I think even an LSU dual meet. I don't particularly know the kid's name, but I remember he was a young Black swimmer and he told me that one day he wants to be like me and beat me. And I said, hey man, if you put in the work, you definitely could if you just really believe in yourself. And I took a picture with him. And that was super awesome. And then fast forward again to nationals in Stanford. And the kid that was tying me from 100 back later approached me and asked me for my cap and I signed it. So that was super awesome. I don't really think of myself like that, honestly. I mean, I'm confident in my ability myself, but I don't think I'm established or I've kind of earned anything, honestly. But that's super cool. And, I hope kids will look at what I'm doing and use me as a role model in some way, shape or form.
Oh, they will. And I mean, I'm very happy to hear that you're aware of it because that's half the battle, prepared. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about, because in preparation, I started reading up about Mission, the town that you grew up in. Because I'm not super familiar with the border towns in Texas and the unique culture that goes along with them. And I find it very interesting. It's a border town, but then you're an hour and a half away from a super cool beach. Is it San Padre Island?
Yeah, San Padre. Yeah, it's actually I think it's about an hour, yeah.
Okay, so it's a unique experience. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about Mission.
Yeah, I mean, Mission, Texas, the southern tip almost, it's about I think 10 miles from the border to Mexico. So there's definitely, a very Hispanic and family culture. I always think of it, especially with my family being predominantly Hispanic, Cuban, actually, I think, there's a strong sense of community and family because I feel I'm not fully aware of the culture. I do know a lot. I mean, I don't know Spanish. I'm super upset that I don't know Spanish. And I keep reminding myself, I need to learn Spanish. But, growing up, we always had these things called family day where our whole family in the area would just have lunch or dinner. And I always thought that was super important because now, because of that, I have the strong sense of family and commitment, devotion to my family because I'm so close to them. And I grew up with them, basically. And I don't think that really happens a lot of other places. I feel like that's everywhere down there, everybody has this pride, and it's kind of labeled Valley Pride because we're kind of isolated from Corpus, San Antonio and up, where we're kind of doing our thing down there. So right. I think that's super cool. Yeah. And everybody for the most part, is pretty friendly. And, you know, you can talk to most people. Everybody knows everybody around there. So it's super awesome.
Yeah. One thing I couldn't find in Mission, though, was doesn't seem to be a lot of pools.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to water, you know, besides the beach, I mean, that place is awesome. There's not a lot of pools. You know, it's actually crazy that I ended up choosing swimming with the limited resources for swimming in that area. We have, I mean, since I've been there, when I graduated from Mac High in 2018, McCown High School, I think they've built and added and renovated a lot more. You know, I'm already almost, I think next will be like 4 years removed. But yeah, I remember we did have one long course meter pool. It was only like five lanes. So we would have to like cycle out like black and gold group goes 5:45 to whenever the younger groups go after that, all that.
Right.
And it was brutal because it's an outdoor South Texas pool. You know, it's like 90, almost 100 sometimes. And I'm dying. I'm just like, I can't do this, man. I'm tired. You know, the pool be like 85 sometimes. So it was a lot. I faced a lot of adversity as a young kid with that. But I'm super grateful for it because being at A&M now, like, this is as good as it gets. So I'm happy for it. I'm happy I had less growing up because it makes me appreciate what I have now.
Yeah. Well, I have you as the third most famous person to come out of Mission. And you're creeping up on number two. I have Tom Landry is number one.
Oh, wow.
And Tito Santana is number two. But I think you can catch the WWE Intercontinental Belt Champion any day now. So, all right. Well, I appreciate all the time that you've given me this afternoon. Before I let you go, there any organizations, anything that you support that you'd like to share with the audience? Anything that you've been researching lately?
Not necessarily. I feel like I'm just kind of to myself. I'm not very outgoing that much. I'm kind of shy, honestly, with like social media and like my presence. And I know I need to work on it. And
I'm not here to judge, Shane.
And stuff like that out. And I feel like, you know, God willing, after I make the Olympic team and stuff like that, I can really work on that and start, you know, contributing to these organizations. I haven't really much yet, sadly, unfortunately. Hopefully people don't judge me for that, but I'm working on it. Give me some time.
Yeah, absolutely. If people wanted to follow you on social media as you begin to grow your audience, where would they find you?
I mean, honestly, I'm just on Instagram. I just like send memes to my friends, but
what's your handle there?
I think it's just Shane_Casas. Okay. I'm pretty sure even if you just type my name, because I have that I in my name, it makes it so unique, yeah. I guess. Because, you know, I have not come across a lot of Shanes with an I in my lifetime. So that's pretty cool. So
no.
Yeah. So yeah, just Shane_Casas on Instagram. I don't think I don't have a Twitter, or I don't use Facebook at all. I just have it for our Texas A&M group. So that's it. But yeah, I mean, find me on Instagram if you want. Send me a message. I respond to everybody.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Well, I look forward to being able to see you swim in person soon. I've been watching for the last year, so I'll be excited for that. And I wish you best of luck the rest of the year, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. I hope you enjoyed our time with Shane Casas. And another thank you to Shane for spending some time during this very chilly day down in Texas. Talking about where he's been and where he's headed. Before I let you go, just cleaning up a little bit. If you want to follow Shane, I believe he gave his Instagram handle during the interview, but it's @Shane, @Shane_ Casas, CASAS. And I think that's the only social media he has right now. And also we referenced Team Black, which is the Black Leadership in Aquatics Coalition that USA Swimming formed over the spring and summertime this past year. And you can go to the USA Swimming website and get more information about the coalition, who's on it, and some of the initial steps that they have taken. And while you're at the website, keep looking for more information regarding the March Pro Swim Series in San Antonio. Thanks again, and thank you for listening to Kick Set.
Thanks for listening to Kick Set with USA Swimming. Check out www.usaswimming.org/kickset for more episodes and add Kick Set to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes.